Today on Real Radio.
It takes no faith at all for you and I to look at the things that we can see and touch with our hands and deal with. And I want to submit to you that the things that really matter are the things that you and I cannot see. Because the Bible says those are the things that will wind up lasting forever.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his series through Paul's second New Testament letter to the Corinthians. In the last paragraph of chapter 4, the apostle reminds us that though our outer self is wasting away, our inner man is being renewed day by day. Isn't that a good thought? This is yet another great hope and promise for the true believer. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs now. It's a lesson called Put On Your Clothes.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, very exciting, verses 13 to 18. We're looking at a message entitled this morning, Put Your Clothes On. Put on your clothes. Maybe somebody told you that this morning. Put your clothes on, we got to go. Put your clothes on, we got to get to church. You don't go anywhere without putting clothes on. I mean, please. Biblically, the Bible tells us that we need to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, for example. Did you know that? The Bible tells us that we need to put off our old man, that is the old conduct of our old life, and put on the new man, which is fashioned, shaped, molded in the Spirit after Christ. We are to be living in light of the new person that has been, by the power of the Holy Spirit, regenerated, born again, made new. Well, listen, after all of that, now that we are Christians, there's going to come a day, church, that you and I will, in a way, put on, finally, once and for all, new clothes that are fit for eternity when we pass from this world to the next. Paul's going to talk about that this morning. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 13, follow along with me. Paul says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, he quotes now, 116th Psalm, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you, the church at Corinth. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread throughout the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Verse 16, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the... Now, church, listen. Read that verse 18 carefully. Watch this. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isn't that a radical statement? You say, Pastor, are you crazy? Did you know he's just described to you faith here a second ago? It takes no faith at all for you and I to look at the things that we can see and touch with our hands and deal with. And I want to submit to you that the things that really matter are the things that you and I cannot see, because the Bible says those are the things that will wind up lasting forever. And you and I have been conditioned to put so much affection and attention on things that we can handle. People will say, if I can't see it, I won't believe it. I understand that, but just know this. You are looking, as it were, through a telescope with one eye. In a sense, faith would be looking through binoculars with a high zoom resolution, you know. And you need to be thinking about where you're at. As Paul is challenging the first believers there at Corinth, the church that had been brought into existence, Listen, as we get into this, can you keep something in mind? I'm a little bit troubled by some things that I'm hearing, even from people who attend this church, which really makes me feel like I'm not doing a good job. When somebody runs up to me in the foyer and says, "Pastor, have you read this book? This guy died, and he had this after-death experience, and he said, this is what heaven's like." "No, I didn't read the book." "Why?" And they start telling me about all this stuff. "Did you know we're going to be 9 feet tall, and we got wings?" And so where do you get that from? The guy wrote a book. Or did you read the book by that little kid who saw these things? And there's people all excited about these books that people have written about heaven. Man, I wish you'd get that excited about what God wrote about heaven. What's wrong with the Bible? Somebody writes a book and we take it as gospel. Somebody told me, "I didn't know we were going to have wings." Well, you're not going to have wings. And when I told it to the person, I said, "Look, we will be resurrected. The Bible says resurrected. Do you have wings now?" But we'll be in heaven. Won't we have wings?" "You will not have wings. Angels have wings. We will not have wings. We will be resurrected. The body that you have will be glorified by the power of the Holy Spirit. And you're not going to have any add-ons." "But I want some wings." Well, you know what? I don't know what to tell you. Take them with you on the way. I don't know what to tell you. But here's the deal. Church, listen. The Bible, and we'll hear it about today, the Bible gives us a very brief description of what heaven's like. There's portions of Scripture you can read. You can look at, for example, Revelation chapter 4, chapter 5. Outside of that, there's not much. It's awesome. It's amazing. But there's a lot of stuff, listen, we know about heaven that we don't understand. You say, "Well, there you go. You're making things worse, Pastor. You just said you know stuff that you don't understand." Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. That's because, listen, we have been convinced in our faith by many other things that when the Bible says, "Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered into the minds of men the things that God has prepared for those who love him," that it's talking about heaven, that if somebody writes a book and telling you what heaven is like, then how come Paul the Apostle, who saw heaven, said, "I can't even talk about it. It would be unlawful for me to describe it"? So, man, I hate to bum you out, but let's focus on the book rather than somebody's book, because the glorious thing is this is the promise. And don't put stock in what people experience. I want to know what God has said. Bertrand Russell, the famous atheist of England, Lord Bertrand Russell, one of the great shapers and molders of atheistic thinking. He's now in eternity. Bertrand Russell said regarding death, he was asked about death. Bertrand Russell said, "Brief and powerless is man's life. On him and all his race, the slow, sure doom of death falls pitless and dark." Bertrand Russell died without hope. He mocked Jesus Christ, he made light of the Bible, and he mocked eternity. And to him, Bertrand Russell, death came to him pitless and dark. That may be accurate regarding his words. Jesus said in John 11, 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." You're going to need to decide who you're going to listen to when it comes to eternity and what you're going to be wearing in eternity. So church, mark it down. Our first point this morning is this: put on your clothes because your life is coming. Verses 13 to 14, your life is coming as a believer. You say, "What do you mean by that? I have life now." You've got life now, hallelujah. Yes, we do as believers. But let me tell you, as we approach the end, whenever that end will be, our life is still yet coming. We are going into eternity as believers, and it's good news. We need to remember that this way. Confidence. It's coming with confidence, verse 13. Paul says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written," Paul is talking about leaning on the Bible. He's not leaning on what people say. He's leaning on what the Bible has to say, the authority of the Word of God. Paul is announcing that if you want confidence, you need to be trusting in the Bible. When these three words, "the same spirit," we're talking about something that carries the thought of a faith-filled or faith-foundational life. He's talking about the Corinthian believers believing in the foundational facts of the Old Testament. Church, listen to this. The New Testament church, much of the first century new believer, had only the Old Testament until the New Testament was being written. Think about that for a moment. What did they know, and what did they lean on, and what did they believe in, and how is it, which I hope you know the answer, how is it that they found Jesus in the Old Testament? Oh my goodness, can I put it to you this way? How can you not find Jesus in the Old Testament? They would study the Word of God and come out with great confidence because they knew that that Old Testament revelation pointed to the coming of Christ. Confidence, and Paul says, we have that same spirit of faith, trusting in what is written. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. 2 Peter 1:16 says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses. Isn't it an awesome thing to say? Listen, when Peter, James, and John went to the Mount of Transfiguration with Jesus, those three guys saw what I'm about to read. They saw it happen. If they were dragged into court today, they would bear witness and they would say, this is what we saw. We're eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse 17, for he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. This is what they heard. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. That's Peter's sworn testimony. Isn't it awesome? We didn't follow cunningly devised fables. We're not following stories. This is important, Christian. Because as you and I are, listen, either brought to the end of time for us, God knows, or if the rapture is near, well, it's near now today than it was yesterday. Or maybe you've been given a pink slip and the doctor says your time is up. The awesome thing about the assurance of what you believe brings you to that moment where, listen, all of our lives, we are reaching out for God. We're drawing closer to God. We're pursuing God, as it were. And we want more of God. And then there comes a moment in time when that scale seems to shift in a way. And maybe it's that notice that you've gotten. And all of a sudden, there's that temptation of, oh no, oh no. With what I believe, is it true? With what God has written, is it true? And let me tell you in advance right now, there's a glorious, awesome thing concerning what was written, that your God, my God being real, all of a sudden that scale tips and you've been pursuing him in life, and so we should. And then all of a sudden, when we've come to that moment, the scale shifts and he begins to pour into your life comfort. He begins to pour in your life his promises. He begins to confirm to you, I will take you from here, Jack, all the way through over to the other side, and you need not worry. He's real. His Bible is true. And you and I have not followed cunningly devised fables. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, those who have died trusting Christ ahead of us or before us, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Verse 2 is awesome. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hey, let's pretend we're Pentecostal. Say amen. Amen. That's good news. That's good news. Sorry, but this is what comes to my mind. I know you're not to covet. I understand that, but pray for me. A few doors down, my neighbor's yard looks amazing. It's so green. I took a picture of it. Yesterday, I knocked on his door. He opened the door. I said, what's with your yard? What is with your yard? What do you use? He goes, I don't know. My gardener does it. I go, I want his name. And then I'm looking at his yard, and all the rows are perfectly straight. Like Angel Stadium, the field. There's only one way to get a straight row. I know this. You have to set your eye far in advance, far out there, and you fix your eye with that tractor or lawnmower or whatever you've got, and you put your eye on that thing, and you never take your eye off, and you just start walking. Don't look down. Don't look down. You'll get overwhelmed if you look down. Your lines will start going all over the place if you go like that. If you look far ahead and fix your eye on that destination, and you go all the way across, trust me, go home and do this. And the wives are saying, yes, please mow the lawn. Go home and then go all the way across your yard and then stop and look back. It'll be perfectly straight. Why? Listen, keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. If you keep your eyes on him, you'll be going that straight and narrow path all the way through. Keep your eye on him. Yeah, but this guy said, or they wrote in that book, or this person hurt my feeling. Forget about it. Focus on him. And let all the stuff go off around you. Let all the flack explode in the air. Keep flying. Stay straight at him. Watch what happens. He'll get you all the way through. That's what he does. You can be confident about what he does. And then it leads to boldness. Verse 13, coming with boldness. Because your life, Christian, is en route coming to you. Every day you get up and live, you're getting closer to eternity. And your real life that you're going to live forever is coming to you with confidence and with boldness. He says, I believed and therefore I spoke, quote in the 116th Psalm, verse 10. So watch, we also believe and therefore speak. We don't need to belabor this. It is awesome. We believe, it's based upon Scripture. The inerrant word of God will never fail. It's assured. And so, listen, believing, we speak with boldness. The boldness that we have as believers is all based upon his achievement. It's all based upon his integrity. It's all based upon his word. It is a glorious thing to think. Now listen, boldness, in light of what I said earlier, you and I know things that we cannot understand. Now somebody who's thinking about this, say, well, you're crazy. How can you know something you don't understand? I will not know anything. I have to understand it first. Yet in life, there's a lot of stuff we know that we don't understand. You may get in an airplane and fly to New York today. You know you're going to get to New York today, and you're not a master. You know very little, in fact, about aerodynamics. You don't understand it. But you so know you're going to make it to New York that you've got a hotel reservation there. Think of that. As a believer, God has convinced us of things, and we know that what we still yet do not understand will come to pass as he has said. That breeds boldness in our lives in such a way that we can turn to people and share the gospel with them and do it with power. Yes. Convincing. I would think that we're like this together. We're the same kind of people when it comes to something that we really like. You like something? You like really like it. And you bump into somebody that you like them and you like this thing. And so you want them to experience this thing you like. Why do you care? Because you like them. You like the person. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a neighbor. I don't know. You like them. So you experience something really great. And what do you do with that thing? You go tell them, right? You tell them before you tell strangers. Why? Because it's just association. And so Lisa and I remember raising up our kids. You guys have all done this. When something's really good, I don't know, name it, ice cream or apple pie or whatever, I don't know. And your kid has never had it before. So you go, here, try this. No. Taste it. No. Look, taste it. It's good. You'll like it. I don't want it. Taste it. You know what I'm talking about? You get your kid in the headlock. You're going to like it. You're going to... Taste it. And you're convinced if you can just get some ice cream on the end of their lip, their nerves will respond in such a way that they have to lick. And then you know once they taste it, they're going to go, no. Right? Doesn't the Bible say taste and see that the Lord is good? Listen, based on what God has done in our lives, we want to tell people about Jesus. And I know we kind of go overboard a little bit, get our friends in a headlock. Put a Bible verse on their lip. Taste it. You're going to like it. But what drives us to do that is that we've tasted at the Lord that he is good. We've experienced that, but they don't know what we're talking about. We speak to them with boldness because we've tasted it. And until they taste of the Lord, and by the way, they will taste of the Lord in many, many ways. They're watching your life. They're listening to us. They're reading you and I, the only Bible that they may ever read. I don't know. You know, taking these door hangers with the gospel, leaving them on a door. That's one way to do it. We can all do that. But there is this invitation that they can begin to know the God of the universe. And I do not understand the God of the universe. I don't understand him. I can't describe him to you in his fullness. But I know him. I have no doubt about that. And I want you to think about how amazing. You know, last Wednesday, we were going through a Bible study last Wednesday night. It wasn't even an evangelistic message. We didn't even have an altar call. And this young man came up, about 30 years old. He came up, and he came right up front, right here. What are you doing? I want to accept Christ. I asked him. This is after the service. It wasn't during the service. I don't want you to think that. I said, why? That's how I am when I witness. It's terrible. Why? And he said, because I'm a sinner. Wow. Why? Why do you think you're a sinner? He starts going down this list. I said, okay, stop already. You are a sinner. That's a huge thing. I said, well, do you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? Yes, I do. Really? Do you believe he rose again from the grave? Yep. Do you think you can save yourself? No, it's why I'm here. I think he thought, like, what's wrong with this guy? But I wanted to see where he was at. And he doesn't know much about the word. And it dawned on me on the way home, the power of God to save a man's soul. This guy, he'd never talked to Jesus. He'd never seen him. Couldn't quote the Bible. He was convinced by the power of God at work in his life. Jesus died and rose again from the grave. He's my Savior. I'm a sinner. I need him. And I need to give my life to Christ. Isn't that amazing? And you say, well, I don't know. I don't know. No one's asking you what you think about that. God was at work in his life. Which, listen, generates this excitement. Look at verse 14. Put it on your clothes. Spiritually speaking, the day is coming because your life is coming and eternity brings excitement to us. Verse 14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you, church. This is absolutely awesome. The Bible tells us in Romans 8:11, but if the Spirit of him, that is the Holy Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, if you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Someone say amen. Come on. What does that mean? Did the Holy Spirit raise Jesus Christ from the dead? Then, listen, the Holy Spirit who dwells in you ain't going anywhere unless you too are raised from the dead. I'm talking about your body. You know, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We're talking resurrection here. If you and I die right now, we immediately see Jesus, but our body, we take over to Forest Lawn. We plant you in the ground and we wait for Resurrection Day. The Holy Spirit will raise your body up someday.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio. In a lesson called Put On Your Clothes, taken from the last two paragraphs of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Put On Your Clothes is a look into how our Lord is renewing the inner self of the believer day by day. Isn't that a great promise? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse series through 2 Corinthians, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, did you know that if you missed any of Pastor Jack's TV programs, Real Life with Jack Hibbs, all you got to do is visit reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, and then simply click on the button that says Watch. There's a list of past programs. Just click the one you want, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Our phone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.